Let's pray together for a moment wherever we are. Father, thank you that wherever we are, you are with us by your Holy Spirit. Even though we're not able to meet physically in the same building this morning, it doesn't matter, Lord, because you, by your Holy Spirit, are with us. You love us and you love to speak to us. And in these moments, Lord, would you draw near to us? You know us perfectly. You know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Lord, speak to us this morning. You know what we need to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the weirdest of Easter days. I was reflecting this morning that I've been around church. I've been going to church since before I was born, because my dad was a vicar, as some of you know, and I was born on Easter Eve. So I don't think my dad was particularly impressed at me arriving the day before Easter and then having Easter Sunday services. But throughout my life, I don't think there has been an Easter day when I've not been in church somewhere with a community of Christians worshipping. And obviously today, this is really weird. I'm standing at the front of the chapel and looking at nobody. But we live in really strange times. The word unprecedented has been used endlessly in the last few weeks. But I always remember some years ago when there was other bad news going around, and the then Bishop of Horsham, Bishop Lindsay Irwin, said, is Jesus still on his throne? Is Jesus still on his throne? And the answer is yes. And the reason he's on his throne is because he is alive. And if Jesus is on his throne, then things will ultimately be okay. God is working out history to his timetable, not ours. And nothing takes him by surprise. And he's the same yesterday, today and forever. But these are strange times. Lots of things are going on that we never imagined would go on. The impact on our world is extraordinary. And there are many people who are grieving. There are many people who are fearful. There are many people who are questioning the foundations of their lives. And this Easter day, this celebration, speaks into all of those things. I wonder, as you're watching this, whether you might identify with some of Jesus' closest friends who were around in these first days. Perhaps you are grieving like Mary. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept. And the reason she wept is because she thought she was never going to see Jesus again. The events of Good Friday came as a total surprise to Jesus' followers. Even though he tried to explain what was going to happen, they just didn't have a framework to fit it into. They had no idea that it was going to happen. And when it happened, it was the end of everything, they thought. They were crushed. Their friend Jesus, they had lost, and they were grief-stricken. And Mary goes to the tomb utterly grief-stricken. And possibly you are grief-stricken this morning, either because you've lost someone recently, or maybe this is just a time of year when you remember someone that you loved and have lost and can't celebrate with. And you know how painful the depths of grief are. It's so final when you lose someone in that way. And Mary stands outside the tomb weeping. Or maybe you're like the other disciples who were afraid. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. They were afraid for the future. Lots of people today are afraid for the future. Lots of people have had the rug pulled out from under their livelihoods. They've lost their jobs and don't know when they're going to be able to work again. For many people, these are uncertain days, and people are filled with fear. Or maybe you're like Thomas. I love Thomas. He gets a bad deal. He's called sort of Doubting Thomas. I actually think Thomas is one of the brightest of the disciples, of the apostles, because I think he sees which way the wind is blowing with Jesus very early on and understands that if Jesus carries on the way that he is, he's going to end up dead. And there's one point where Jesus says, I'm going to go back to Judea. And Thomas says, well, why do you want to go back to Judea? Are you going to die? And Thomas says, well, we will come with you so we can all die together. Thomas, you know, Thomas gets it. But here he is. He's not there the first time Jesus appears, and he doesn't believe. He wants proof. And I think there are lots of people who would love to believe, who would love to have a certainty in life that they can't quite grasp. And they're looking for proof. I want proof. And Thomas is like that to begin with. He says, oh, I'm not going to believe until you have proven it. I had someone say that to me just the other day in a Facebook post. You can't prove what you believe. Perhaps you're like those. Perhaps you are grieving. Perhaps you're fearful. Perhaps you are doubting. And what does Jesus say to his disciples? And what does this same Jesus want to say to you this morning? To Mary, who was grief-stricken. He appears to her. She thinks he's the gardener to begin with. But then Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. He knows her and he speaks to her by name. Two of the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, record that at the moment that Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, the curtain of the temple divided the Holy of Holies, the place where the Jews believed the very presence of God was. The curtain divided that place from everyone else, from the rest of the world. There was a separation because of sin, a separation between the holy God and an unholy and an unrighteous people. And at the moment of Jesus' death, that curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. In other words, the separation is removed. And it means that Jesus can come to each and every one of us and say our name. I grew up, as I said before, going to church, and I heard about the love of God, and I read that verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I didn't understand that love for the world included me. I thought for some reason I was excluded. When I was 17, the penny dropped, and I heard Jesus say, actually, I did this for you. I went to the cross for you. I died for you, Simon. Whatever your name is, you may hear the voice of God speaking your name into the midst of whatever grief you may be suffering. Because he knows you and he loves you and he speaks your name. And he speaks your name as a risen saviour. The one who has defeated death and utterly transformed it. So he speaks into our grief and our loss as the only one who can restore and redeem. He speaks your name. To the disciples who were fearful, he comes and speaks and stands amongst them and says, peace be with you. If you're fearful this morning, if you're fearful for the future, if you're not sure how you're going to survive in these coming weeks and months, the risen Jesus comes and stands with you. It's not that he sits in heaven and shouts. It's not that he stands aloof. It's not that he's uncaring. He came and stood with the disciples in their locked room and in their fear. And I've experienced this so many times in my life when I've been fearful and when I stop and I make time and I allow God to draw near to me and experience his peace and remind myself that he is with me. And he says, peace be with you. There's a wonderful scene in the film The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe in the final battle where Peter, the eldest brother, is fighting against the White Witch, and it looks as if the battle has turned against them, and it looks as if Peter is going to be defeated by the White Witch. And he begins to sound the retreat, and it looks as if Peter is going to lose. And then there's this wonderful scene where suddenly Aslan, the picture of Jesus, appears at Peter's shoulder, and he roars. And in that roar, the White Witch is doomed, and she knows it, and she is utterly defeated. And in our fear, Jesus comes to us and stands with us and says, peace be with you. And when he says that, he says it with all the authority of heaven, and he roars. And there is no place for fear, because he loves us and he speaks out of his perfect love, which casts out fear. And it's a peace that he gives us that is not a peace in our circumstances necessarily. It's a peace that defies our circumstances. So even in the midst of everything that's going on in our world at the moment, there is a peace that we can find because the risen Jesus comes and he stands with us and he says, peace be with you. And then for Thomas, who, dear old Thomas, with his questions, he can't believe it. It seems too good to be true. It seems unbelievable. He has no framework to fit this into. In his Jewish understanding, he has a belief in a general resurrection at the end of all time. But the idea of a single person being raised from the dead, there's simply no framework, there's no precedent for it to fit into. And Thomas simply can't compute it. He says, I'm not going to believe it without proof. And the proof I want is physical proof. I want to put my finger in the marks in his hands, my hand in the wound in his side. Then I'll believe. And then a week later, Jesus appears again. And he offers Thomas the proof that he's looking for. But actually, Thomas in the end doesn't need it. He doesn't take it. He doesn't do what he said he wants to do. He simply looks, he encounters Jesus and he says, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. I think there are so many people who would love to believe, would love to know that these things are true and are looking for proof. But actually in the end, it's an encounter with a living God that removes the need for proof. Somebody said to me, sometimes you know. I have friends who are Christians, not because they ever found any proof, but because Jesus appeared to them. Jesus appeared to them unmistakably, and they knew that it was him. And they didn't need any further proof. I have a friend some years ago who she went through any number of sort of Alpha courses and Christianity Explored courses, and she always had more questions. She always had more questions. No matter how many questions were answered, she always had more objections. She always had more questions. And then in the end, one day she just realised, actually I can always be asking questions. Do I know enough to begin a journey with Jesus? And she gave her life to Jesus. I began that journey because it's about relationship. In the end, you can't prove relationship, you experience it. So I don't know where you are at this morning, where you might put yourself in this story, whether you are grieving or whether you are fearful or whether you're doubting and wondering whether this Easter story can be true. But wherever you are, Jesus wants to speak to you today. If you're grieving, he wants to speak your name and for you to know that he understands and he's with you. If you're fearful, he wants you to know that he will come and be with you and speak peace to you. Peace be with you. And if you are doubting, if you're not sure, then just ask him. Ask him. Ask Jesus to show himself to you unmistakably, that you may encounter him. Today is the most glorious day in the year. It's the most glorious day that we remember in history, when death was defeated, when sin and wrongdoing was paid for, the account was settled, and the invitation of Jesus is simply to come to him and receive what he's already paid for. To receive forgiveness, to receive freedom, to receive new life. So let's pray together for a few moments, and then we're going to close with a final hymn, and then a blessing, and then a song as we go into the rest of this day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us, expressed in your Son Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and took on himself all our sin and wrongdoing. And yet, because he was your perfect son, it was a penalty he did not deserve. And he defeated the penalty and not the other way round. He defeated death, he defeated sin, and he rose again. And Father, thank you that when we choose Christ, we too can rise with him and know your freedom in this life and look forward to eternity with you. Thank you for your perfect love, which casts out fear. We bless you this morning on this glorious day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.